Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, here I go. Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head. You know.
All right. Welcome, welcome everyone to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here to dish up some deliciously delectable, consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. Thank you to Gay Adegbolola, who brought us in with Hungry Woman Blues, which always gives me a giggle. This evening is a special evening, and I am going to, first of all, give a shout-out to all the moms out there and to all of us who tap into that divine mother energy for nurturing and healing of ourselves. So, who am I? Well, many things, but I own Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, and that company serves to facilitate restoration of balance to mind, body, and spirit through divinely inspired holistic healing and education services. And as a natural wellness consultant, a body worker, an energy healer, and as a former psychotherapist, I truly am committed to addressing our mental and emotional, physical, and spiritual needs in the healing process. So my Second Sundays at 6 program, Mind, Body, and Soul Food, provides an opportunity each month to expose our listeners to a variety of holistic healers who can nourish our mind, body, and soul. So today, around the world, millions of people are honoring their moms, and so we'll be doing the same thing this evening on our show as we discuss the miracles of motherhood. Now, I know becoming a mother is a miracle in and of itself, so imagine becoming a mother to a child with special needs. Our guests this evening are two of my favorite people, and they're women who have inspired me in life as well as in motherhood. So Meredith Gross and Lisa Coleman have helped to facilitate healing for their respective special children and in the process learned how they themselves have been or are being healed. So without further ado, welcome ladies and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Tanya. Happy Mother's Day to you too.
Thank you. It's so great to be here and be able to honor you.
Well, thank you. That is so sweet to say. I'm so excited about this day. Mother's Day is so special to me because my mother is so special to me, and I'm just madly passionate about my mother. I have to give my first shout-out, right? To Evelyn Gaynell Taylor Parker. I'm just putting the full name out there in Warsaw, Virginia, and my mom, I spent all day yesterday with her, and she is just so amazing at 79 and a half years old, and when I grow up, I want to be just like her. She is amazing. So a shout-out to my mom and to so many mother figures who have passed through my life. It's just endless numbers of people. And I would get into big trouble if I started naming and I was missing some. But I do have two very special moms right on the phone right now, so I'm definitely going to enjoy having this chance for you all to be honored because you are truly deserving. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, have you all been enjoying your special day so far?
I have. This is Meredith, and I have to say I rule the roost most times, but especially on Mother's Day. And my husband and children are fabulous about honoring me in so many ways, large and small, from, you know, the chocolate starts at breakfast, which is just when it should.
Ooh.
I get pictures and cards and all kinds of sweet offerings, from, you know, doing my fingernails to going to the grocery store for me. So I've done something right, because they spontaneously honor me on this day, and I receive it gratefully. So I'm well celebrated, and it's not even the end of the day, and they'll be grilling here any minute.
Ooh-hoo, all right. That might distract you, Meredith. So if I ask you a question and I don't hear a response, I think it might be just the smell of grilling food items wafting across your nostrils and just taking you to another place. But that's okay, too. How about you, Lisa? Have you been enjoying your special day?
I have been enjoying my special day. Unlike Meredith, you know, my son, well, our son, Justin, you know, I had to remind him that it was Mother's Day. And, you know, so I'm like, so are you going to say Happy Mother's Day to me? And he's like, Happy Mother's Day. You know, so I'm just like, wow. So, you know, I was trying to get breakfast out of him, and that wasn't happening. I said, well, you feel like making me a card? No. So my Mother's Day took a different spin. So, but I did have fun, because I did have a chance to spend a couple hours with my mom. Mm-hmm. So that's how I spent my Mother's Day. We went over, and my mother loves seafood, and I love seafood. So we had some fried fish, some steak fish, some fried shrimp, and some king crab legs. And we just, you know, sat around for a little bit shooting a breeze and enjoying a couple hours with her. So that's how my day went.
All right, and it is not over yet, so be open to surprises. You know, ladies, it's interesting, because I titled this show The Miracles of Motherhood, and I think we tend to think about miracles in supernatural terms, but I kind of look at it with a different lens. And I think of it in terms of A Course in Miracles, where a miracle is defined more as a shift in perception, speaking to a healing of the mind in some ways. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this show this evening and we talk about miracles and how your perception has been shifted, how you have had some healing to come about through the process of being a mom, and you both have walked different paths to do that, but also in terms of the healing that you have seen with Meredith, your two children,
mm-hmm.
and Lisa, I'll say our one child, and mm-hmm. I'm coming to it later. So I'm just curious, how has being a mom helped in your healing? Either of you can start.
Well, for me, Tanya, I never really thought that I would be a mother. Justin is not my biological son, as you know. He's adopted. And I didn't legally adopt him until I was about 35 years old. So that in itself has been a true blessing. I really never thought that I would have the opportunity to be a mom or be responsible for another life. So just having him in my life, and Justin he was born drug addicted, so he has a lot of issues in terms of behavior, in terms of his learning. And it's a struggle day in and day out, but, you know, Justin, he's such a compassionate little guy, you know. So just knowing everything that he's gone through with his learning disability, you know, he still smiles every day. You know, he's still very loving. He still gives a lot of hugs and a lot of kisses. So, you know, mm-hmm. just facing what we have to face day in and day out, it's just been a blessing just to see the flip side of him come through even brighter than some of his disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that has truly been a blessing for us, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Meredith?
Now, I will say that my son, while now he is very much like Justin and has come to grips with some of the issues that he grapples with, he did not start out that way. He was a very difficult child. There's a great quote I found by Judith Martin that says, adorable children are considered to be the general property of the human race. Rude children belong to their mothers. Sam was my child. He was absolutely my child because his issues presented in a very different way. And it led to screaming and yelling. And I had a dear friend, as only a dear friend can do, really offered to me saying, you know, no one would blame you for sending him somewhere. You know, he has been a real challenge, and it's taken a toll on, you know, myself and my family. And she was really saying that, you know, kind of giving me this out. And yet throughout this challenging time when Sam was a real small boy, you know, I would look at him sleeping, and I would feel so much love for him. And I would really marvel at that fact. I was like, okay, this boy does nothing for me. You know, he didn't always make eye contact. He wasn't very affectionate. He, you know, was challenging. He was difficult to feed, lots of tantrums. And yet still, I loved him. And so to feel that unconditional love that is really in some ways unfounded. You know, it wasn't based on anything he did. He didn't perform in any cute way. There were no strengths that we could discern at the time. And yet there was this depth of love that made no sense to me. And where that led me personally for my own healing was the ability to love myself unconditionally to a greater depth, to be compassionate with myself when I was being a little bratty or when I would be harsh or self-critical on myself or stubborn, that I was able to really not love myself based on how much money I made or what I looked like or what I weighed or how kind I was even to other people, that I could just love myself because it was something separate from my behavior and my abilities. So that has been a blessing. And thankfully, Sam has come out and he has found many, many strengths of his and touched many hearts, and starting with my own, but continues to spread to others too.
Both of you are pretty amazing. You've had some might say challenging circumstances in being a mom, most definitely. But just to hear the grace that you both walk with as you deal with your children, and just hearing the unconditional love, I mean, I think that's such an important aspect, and knowing that we have to have that unconditional love for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation just yesterday as we were at my mom's, talking with some of my nieces, and I was telling my sister and the rest of the crowd about, I said, your children were bad. They were just bad. And I say it jokingly because I don't like to label children in that way. But it was challenging, and I remember at the time thinking, oh, you know, I am terrible. Will I ever make a good parent? Because I just don't know what to do with these kids. Now, then again, I was 12 years old trying to babysit, and I eventually decided I do want kids. I'd be good with kids. I wanted six. And then as I started becoming a mental health therapist, and I specialized in working with children, six went down to four, and then four went down to two. You see how it's cut in half each time. Two went to one, and I couldn't go to 0.5. I went down to zero. And I was at zero for several years until I got to my 40s, and I started to mourn the fact that I didn't have children. And realizing that, you know what, I really would have been a great mom. And just knowing that and loving myself, and it's interesting how the doors opened and the universe provided me with a wonderful, special little boy. Mm-hmm. Thank you to you, Lisa, for sharing Justin with me.
Oh, thank you for being a part of our lives, definitely.
Yeah. So do you have those moments when you think, bad mommy, bad mommy?
Oh. I definitely have those moments. You know, Justin, he's so unpredictable from day to day. And just when I think that, you know, I understand his personality, I understand his behaviors, here comes something totally different. And I'm not prepared to handle it. I mean, I sometimes as a mother, you just really don't know what to do. There's not a set manual mm-hmm. to say, okay, when this comes up, do this, because it's different strokes for different folks. What may work for me may not work for Meredith, and what works for Meredith may not work for you in terms of our parenting styles. You know, so the good thing is that, you know, we're allowed to make mistakes, you know, as a parent, and some of the healing comes into place, like Meredith was saying, that, you know, no matter how upset or I tend to get with Justin because he's acting out and I don't understand his behavior and I have such high expectations for him, he doesn't hold a grudge, you know. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, he is the same, you know. He still goes to sleep and I still get a kiss, I still get a hug. And that definitely heals me. That calms me down. It makes me check myself. And actually, he's kind of it makes him the role model. And for me, just trying to stay even keeled, stay even tempered with him, and just giving him the support that he needs, and trying to understand on his level what he's going through, because most times he doesn't understand what he's going through. So I've learned to kind of lower my expectations, not of his potential, but just of his behavior. So I'm open to anything in terms of his behavior. Any day could bring anything. So, you know, I just kind of, I'm ready, you know, ready and waiting, and I'm just trying to be just a little more sympathetic, a little more understanding to what's going on with him. But there are definitely days where I feel like I've been just like, you know, a really bad mom, because I was, you know, when I was growing up, I got spankings, you know, whether it worked or not, that's what I learned. And that's what, you know, I've learned to do for, in terms of Justin. I mean, I don't spank him on a regular basis, but sometimes things get so out of control. Mm-hmm. And that it's normally the last resort. And, you know, to have to tap him on his butt sometimes, because I just don't have the skills, you know, to I don't know how to handle what's going on with him and his behavior. I do feel bad, you know. I feel horrible. Mm-hmm. But just knowing that, you know, he'll still come to me, you know, mommy, I love you, and, you know, giving me a hug or giving me a kiss or, mommy, can you sleep with me? That's just like a constant healing on a regular basis, day to day.
Wow. You know, Lisa, I can so relate. My bad mommy experience actually came with my daughter. And, you know, I heard you say, too, that, you know, you did what you were taught. You know, when you spank him, that doesn't necessarily feel like the best thing to do, but it's what you were taught, and so that's what you do. And so for me, where that's come in my life is, you know, I was one of four children to a single mom who was stretched to the limit, and she had no time to deal with any trouble from us. So, you know, we did a lot for ourselves, and I learned to become this, you know, be the good girl. I would clean, I'd be helpful, I'd be cheerful, I was a good student. And I thought, you know, that's what you did. And yet my daughter and I had a lot of conflict. And it finally dawned on me one day, and it was a real low, because Sam had me distracted and busy, you know, much of the time, and feeling at a loss for what to do. Just like you said, Lisa, like there are no books, especially for these kids. And so I had just patched Sam together after some big emotional outburst he had had. And my daughter came along, and she said something really nasty to him that just set him off again. And I looked at Maddie, and I just said, I hate you. And it was a moment that I was like, did I say that or just think it? And I saw by her face that I said it. And so I covered, and it was true, you know, I hate what you said. I wish you hadn't done that to him. But for me, that visceral that moment of making such a big mistake And so I took that to heart, and I later really spent time with that moment. And my teacher, Yala Van Zandt, said, you know an issue is healed when you've been on both sides of it. And that was a moment where I was on both sides of an issue, where I came face to face with knowing I had coped by being a good girl, and I was expecting my daughter to do the same, and she was not. She was angry. She would let me know that, you know, Sam was a challenge to her and made her unhappy and made her angry, and I didn't want to give her the space for that. And yet I was angry that I was not given the space for that when I was a girl. And so for me to be on both sides, for me to have the compassion and forgiveness for my own mother, you know, being in her shoes, realizing, like, I know what it's like to be at the end of your rope and to not know what to do and to maybe not make the best choices. And so to forgive her on that one side and then to work and talk with my daughter and up to apologize. But what was so interesting is literally after that experience where I realized the pressure I was putting on my daughter, once that came to my conscious awareness, it was like our whole relationship deepened and softened, and she no longer really picked on Sam like she had, because she knew I would give her the space to be angry. I wouldn't try to clamp it like I used to. And so I get not knowing what to do and not always making the best choices, but how healing ultimately the mistakes really are.
Right, right. And wow, from their little fingers, or as they get older, larger fingers, they hold up that mirror for us to see some things that we don't necessarily want to see, but how powerful it is when our eyes are truly open to see it and to receive the healing from it. Mm-hmm. Because I think there are multiple opportunities for not just mothers, but people to receive healing from situations that surround us every day, but we don't necessarily see it.
Mm-hmm.
We can turn our heads and run away or act out in some way in a myriad of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But how powerful that you are able to see that and to learn from it and to heal from it. So I don't think of either of you as bad mommies. I understand having those bad mommy moments. I have them myself. You know, being the nice, calm Libra that never yells, but I can yell at Justin. It's like, where did that come from? I don't lose my cool ever. What is going on?
Well,
yeah.
It's just like sometimes, you know, you think that you're prepared. You know, a lot of women think that they're prepared to be a mother, but children bring out some things in you that you never thought existed. You know, they can take you to a place that you never thought you would travel to. So, you know, parenting is not all that it cut out to be. I mean, especially if you have a child who has learning disabilities or autism, it's a lot of extra work. And sometimes if you're not disciplined enough, you'll do things that you never thought you would do. You'll say things like Meredith said. You'll say things that you never thought you would say. Because you can only take but so much. And if you have more than one kid, that just adds more fuel to the fire sometimes.
I was like Tanya, I would say, I want 10 kids. You know, my husband will laugh because when we were getting engaged, that was one of our discussions, and he was wise enough to know, let's wait and see how she does with one. I made the mistake because I was a nanny. I was Little Red Riding Hood at birthday parties, so I was like a kids' party entertainer. I would go, friends' kids loved me. Even now when I volunteer in a classroom, teachers are always like, you are amazing with kids. Why aren't you a teacher? And what I learned when I had children is what a huge difference it is to go from being that loving presence for a moment and then going home and not having that responsibility. That I was not prepared for that constant day in, day out, and the responsibility, the tough choices that need to be made, you know, whether it's to medicate or not. You know, that's a very challenging decision to be made that I just did not feel prepared for. So here I thought, oh, I'm great with kids and they're a lot of fun, and yet, oh my, to be a mom is something altogether different.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Ladies, ooh, you all have spoken a mouthful. I'm going to pause at this moment to see if anyone else would like to weigh in on our conversation, who have a comment or a question for either Meredith or Lisa, or who would like to give a shout-out to their special miracle mom. The call-in number is 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. You know, I was thinking about the mommy manual that you referred to, Lisa, and, you know, knowing that there are parenting classes, of course, and I know that there's lots of training that you can get when you have special needs children, et cetera, et cetera. However, a lot of it is on-the-job training. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious as to what do you think, what qualities do you think that you brought to the table that really have helped to equip you in dealing with your children and just being a mom? What are some of the special ingredients that it takes?
Oh, my goodness. For me, humor and being playful. Just being able to laugh and be spontaneous and, you know, enter into a child's world, which is very often humorous and playful. I love that, you know, Sam gets me, and many times when he's looking at a movie to see if it's appropriate for him to see or not, you know, he'll look at the rating, you know, PG-13, and, you know, he'll do some research about what makes it PG-13, and if it's like bad language and crude humor, he was like, oh, Mom, you love crude humor. You know, like, this will be fine. And I'm like, excellent. So for me to be able to take a playful attitude, you know, to have Sam act out in the world in some of the ways he does and some of the really odd comments he makes, sometimes is just funny. You know, it's really unexpected, and I see the reaction he gets from people, and they don't always know what to make of it. And sometimes it's just funny. So to be able to lighten that moment and be present to it and laugh is a huge skill.
Mm-hmm. I know for me, you know, I love children. I've always loved children. You know, I relate to kids very, very well. But, you know, I also know when to say no. You have to know when to say no, even sometimes when you don't want to, you know. But one thing I've been doing, Tanya, that you know, is that, you know, we've been really trying to involve Justin in prayer. He's really reluctant to read. He doesn't like to read, although he's reading a lot better than he used to. He's still reluctant. But we try to get him active in speaking his mind or speaking what's in his heart. Me and Tanya are prayer partners, so we pray every day in front of Justin, and we try to include him in it. And sometimes he's up for it and sometimes he's not. But that definitely seems to be a good quality to have, I think, for any kid. Also, you know, for me, I know when to take that me time that I need. You know, I know when to say, okay, you know what, I need to get away for a couple of hours, or I need to get away for a day or so, just to regroup, rebuild myself, get my strength back, get my focus back. And Justin, you know, it's nothing that, you know, Justin even needs to be aware of. It's just something that, you know, you and I, Tanya, we kind of do it tag team, you know, or I may say, you know, you need a mommy day, Tanya, or you need some me day. So just being able to know when to take some time out for yourself to get yourself back in gear, it definitely helps.
Lisa, I have to piggyback on the comment you made about prayer. And I will say, when I look back on Sam's trajectory of how he's developed and how far he's come and how much happier and more engaged in the world he is, I would say introducing prayer to him was probably that pivotal moment. And that, you know, and he loves to pray. We pray in carpool on the way to school to set the day. We pray at night. So he will add all kinds of little details of his life in his prayer, which make it meaningful to him, which has been really helpful. But just for Sam himself to know, you know, to connect with something larger and to feel that protective, loving presence has really drawn him out in a powerful way. So I applaud that you have found the same thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. Every time I have a guest, I tend to ask, you know, what is your personal recipe for replenishment, refreshment and renewal, those types of things? And I always hear prayer. I tend to hear prayer, meditation. There are lots of different regimens that people have, but prayer plays a big role in it. And it's interesting to hear the both of you talk about the importance of prayer and introducing it to the children and empowering them through mm-hmm. prayer.
Yeah.
I'm loving hearing that. Meredith, are you taking good care of yourself? I know you take your time for you as well.
Oh, absolutely. And that is also something that I used to shy away from. And increasing my own unconditional love has allowed me to kind of face those limitations that I have. Because one thing that I didn't fully realize until I had kids is how much alone time I need, how much solitude and quiet, you know, time in nature, certainly meditating. But if I don't have that, I am not somebody you would want to be around. So to really admit to that, you know, when I'm reaching my limit, and to say tag, you know, to my husband. And until the kids were old enough to really get what was going on, you know, my Mother's Day gift when they were itty-bitty was to go to a hotel room for a weekend and just sleep and read books and, you know, eat room service. And that's what I needed. So I definitely feel in my body when it's time to take that break. Yeah, it's necessary.
Well, you know, I'm sorry?
It's just necessary, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha. Very much so. You know, Meredith, I met you during a time when you were going through Inner Visions Institute for Spiritual Development. You had mentioned your teacher, Ayamma Van Zandt. And to me, I always thought it was amazing that you were so loving to yourself that you would be able to take that one very, very full weekend out of the month to be able to go and work the program, and then the 1 week during the summer for your retreat as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, considering all that you have to do. And that's amazing that you not only did it, but that you had such wonderful support to allow you to do that.
Yes,
I know that was
and I will say
wonderful
too
for
that,
you.
That what I, you know, I had spent a lot of years, you know, trying to get Sam in a better frame of mind, if you will, and working and focusing on him. And what I really learned is when that exhausted me, when I did take that time to dedicate to myself and when I became more disciplined in my own spiritual practice, but also in my self-care, being more disciplined in that, so many behaviors just fell away. You know, I really come to see that, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so many times if my kids are acting up, I'll take a look at what's going on with myself and I'll say, okay, am I running a bit low? Do I need to refuel? Because they are good mirrors. And many times just shifting my own energy and taking care of myself just dissipates any upset, especially Sam. He's just really energetically sensitive. But just really dissipates any issue he's going through.
You know, that it's a big sense of responsibility that you're taking with that. I think a lot of times, at least coming from my experience as a former counselor, I would have people to come to the office and they would say, fix my child.
Mm-hmm.
He's broken or she's broken in some way. Or the court would send the child. Social services would send the child. And it's like, excuse me, can I see the family, please? And it's interesting as I've gone on and had more, I'll say, spiritual development and training and looking at how we impact those around us and how what's happening in our lives can be a reflection of what's happening within ourselves. It does take a lot of attention, or we need to really
pay more attention to ourselves when we see something happening around us. You know, one of my prayers, one of my common prayers is just working on my sense of inner peace so that my outer world will reflect that peace. Because I do know that I do have some impact on that. Now, I know that can be a little bit airy-fairy for some people, but I'm convinced of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that children can be very, very sensitive,
mm-hmm.
very sensitive to nuances in our voice, to tone, to
mm-hmm.
words that are spoken, you know, specific words, to looks on our face.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we have something going on, you cannot tell me that the child is oblivious to that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of little sayings that we've come up with. Little pitchers have big ears. It's not necessarily them hearing, but just being in your presence, they can sense the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that we pay attention to ourselves if we have children in our lives. And I'm saying that because not everyone is a mom by biology or by adoption, or I like to say for myself, co-option at this point in my life, where I've just taken over this kid. many of us have served as mother figures for people. I know I have Ugabs of God children and other people that call me their play mama. Of course, I get to send them all back home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. But we really have a strong responsibility when we have them in our lives and we're spending significant time with them, and we need to know that our behavior certainly impacts them. And if we do see some sort of behavior in them that we're curious about, we're concerned about, let's look within and see how we may be playing a role in that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tanya, you can attest to this, you know, especially with Justin. You know, Justin's 11 now, and I've had him since he was 5 months old. So it's like whatever I speak, that's what he wants to become. And I have to be really careful about some of the things that I say, even something simple as food. You know, if I say, you know what, I really don't like broccoli, then Justin's like, you know what, I don't like broccoli either. Not knowing that, you know, not realizing that he just ate it a couple of days ago. But I know that anything that I kind of put out there, he wants to take that on for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have to be very careful in some of the things that I say around him, some of the things that I do around him, because he simply wants that for himself, not realizing really what it is he's asking for or trying to receive. But, I definitely have to be careful of what I say around him at times.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, I'm curious, do you have people who have been mothers to you, whether it's your biological mother, let me see if I can say that right, biological mother, or mothers of co-option, people in the neighborhood, aunts, people who really have been sheroes to you in terms of how some things that you've learned to help you in your role as a mother. Anyone stand out for you?
Oh, I have been blessed with a mother and a stepmother and a mother-in-law. And they are each such different women and give love in such different ways that I feel enriched by having kind of that stew, you know. And, one gives, they love in different ways and they have different strengths, and some we have more interests in common, so we play better together. But I could not imagine not having, you know, my mother's intellect or my stepmother's art and pragmatism. And my mother-in-law is just heart and hugs. And it's a blessing to have that. As well as, you know, I have some girlfriends where in a pinch, in a moment, they offer that nurturing, that shoulder that you can lean a bit, you know, that burden that you can share with someone. So
mm-hmm.
women are amazing. I will just say that.
Yay, well, women.
Amazing. I'm like Meredith, you know. My mother, you know, I have three siblings, and my mother was a single parent. Mm-hmm. By the time she was 21, she had had all four of her kids already.
Wow.
So I have four amazing aunts who have always stepped up to the plate in terms of helping my mother out with us. My mother had more children than any of her siblings. So, you know, they were always active in our lives. They were always good role models. My mother is one of my best role models in terms of, my mother didn't have a lot of education, but she was a very, very strong woman. She is a strong woman. She's fearless. And I see a lot of my strength. I know I get a lot of my strength from my mother. She was a good role model without even realizing it, in terms of just teaching us how to take care of ourselves and how not to be afraid. I truly value that. My grandmother is 96 years old, and she's still up and kicking. And she's always been instrumental in our lives as well. You know, one thing is kind of funny. Growing up, I've never heard, I can't say never, but for a long time, I never heard my mother tell me that, or me or any of my sisters or brothers. She never said to us, "I love you." You know, she showed it. We felt it. Mm-hmm. But we never, ever heard it. And then, you know, the same for my aunts. I've never heard my aunt say that to any of their children, and I've never heard my grandparents say it to my mother and her siblings, you know. And, you know, when I talked to them about it, they say, it was just something that was just, it was never said. Mm-hmm. We felt it, and we surely felt it. But so that's one thing now that we're working on. We're working on more of telling each other that we love each other, instead of just knowing that the love is there. I mean, we would die for each other, but just expressing it, because it just means so much. You know, I tell Justin all the time, every day, I love him, and he has no problem saying, "I love you." I did not want that to be something that got fueled down to me and Justin's relationship. I wanted him to be able to express himself freely, and knowing that saying "I love you" is okay. But, you know, I've had a lot of positive women in my life, my aunts and my grandmom and my mother. They've been excellent role models for me.
Like the two of you, I've had some amazing women as well. I mean, I told you all about my mom, and she has, well, she had two sisters. One is now in spirit, my Aunt Hilda. Hilda Robinson, she passed in October, and I always called her my second mom because I grew up across the garden from her. Her husband, Uncle Allen, grew a garden, and we always went in, and it was a community garden, and we helped pick it and everything. And when I got home off the bus, my mom was working. Aunt Hilda stayed at home. You know, she was a homemaker. And so I always went to Aunt Hilda's house. And Aunt Hilda made, I remember her tomato soup. She always had tomato soup from the can and crackers or a sandwich. And she had a grapevine. And once in a while, we got to taste her homemade wine that she would make. And it was just wonderful having her. And I was raised up by a community of women. My sister Rosalind Gray, is 15 years older than I am. So Rosalind was always the one who did my hair. And if anyone knows anything about doing hair, doing of the hair is a wonderful bonding experience for a mother and a daughter. And my mom rarely did my hair. My sister did. So we had this bonding that went on over the course of years where she would always do my hair. And if I wiggled and wouldn't keep still, she would whack me with a brush. Or say, "Keep still," or, you know, she would burn me with the straightening comb or something. But my sister did a lot of the motherly functions, as well as my grandmother, Cornelia Gordon Taylor Rich, who passed when I was six, but she was my primary caregiver. And I always have memories. One of my earliest memories was with her. And I would get up every morning and say goodbye to my four siblings who would go off to school, and then I would go back to bed and get up again and have breakfast a second time with my grandmother, probably why I'm so voluptuous now. So, but just such wonderful memories with these nurturing women who've come my way in the early formative years, but also as I've gotten older and I've continued to nurture that inner child. And like you, Meredith, I have wonderful girlfriends that have such wonderful nurturing energy too. I do a Reiki share with many of them, and with the healing of the hands, it's very nurturing and loving. And I remember once being in a healing circle with one of them, and I was feeling sick that day, and just terrible. I'll admit it, I was crampy. And I just went over, and I crawled in her lap, and I said, "Mommy, I don't feel good." And I remember her putting her hands on my abdomen and feeling the healing energy. And then I felt another set of hands on my back, and I felt the healing energy. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago. And it's interesting to me that two of those women are now in my Reiki share, my healing circle. And I didn't know them very well at the time, but I sensed their ability to heal. And it's amazing how they've continued as healers in my life, as nurturers. So there's so many people out there who help to nurture us and help to mother us. So I'm glad we're able to give some shout outs to them as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a good reminder too to share our children, you know, to allow the broader world to nurture and care for our children, you know, that it's not just my burden and responsibility, that Sam has had, you know, aunts and uncles and grandparents and, you know, professionals on his team and teachers. So, you know, that he is a child of the world also.
Well, you know, the old African proverb, it takes a village, right, to raise a child, and that's so true. And I think, you know, I'm not going to get philosophical, but for so much, you know, for so long, as I think about how this world is different now, how many of us move away from home and we don't have the built-in community. I know I grew up in a family little community. I told you my aunt was across the field, and there were other family members surrounding us, and you couldn't do anything without at least two or three sets of eyes watching you. Everyone knew everything in the community, and it was all family. And my mother may fuss at me, but it may have been my sister, it may have been my aunt, it may have been some of her older children, et cetera, et cetera. But it was wonderful having that, so that the world, as you say, was having the opportunity to raise up. And one of those very cousins said to me, she says, "You know, you have been a mother or a mother figure to so many." And I was thinking, wow, so have you. And she was one of my very, very ones who's been a wonderful mother figure to me, my cousin Beatrice Ball. And so, wow. So, ladies, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I'm just wondering, this is your opportunity to give advice. So if you were the Dear Abby of motherhood, do you have any advice for our listeners out there? Actually, I want you to think about that, because I see a hand that's raised. We have a caller. And the caller is from the 301 area code, and we'll get back to that question. Caller, you are now live. Do you have a question for Meredith or Lisa, or a comment or a shout-out to a mom?
Actually, I have a shout-out. This is Freedom, and I know Lisa personally, and Justin, and I want to say hi, Tanya, and Happy Mother's Day to all three of you ladies. Hey, what's going on?
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you too, Free.
Hey, this is my first time listening, and I'm so glad I'm finally able to get it on my iPhone. This is excellent.
That's cool.
Hey, so Meredith, I don't know you, but I do know Lisa, and I know her struggles. And I'm a parent of four, and it's really hard. I don't have the challenges that you all face. And I just want to say that, you know, I know your struggles, and admitting that, you know, you have shortcomings and that you're able to recognize those, that's the biggest thing. My mother wasn't the best at that by far, and I think that's the one thing that I do and that I respect is being able to say, okay, I could have done this differently, or I made a mistake, or to actually be able to admit it and embrace it and say, okay, I'm not a bad person. I'm still a really great parent, and learning together to grow past that and not make those mistakes again. So I just want to say happy Mother's Day. You guys are doing a great job, and I appreciate you, because I do look towards you, Lisa, as a mentor, and I watch what you do, you and Tanya together, and I think that it's astounding. So,
well, you know, free as well. You know, I know all your kids, and I know your relationships with them, and I know some of the struggles that you've been going through. And, you know, you always do the best that you can do. That's all that anyone can do. You know, like,
right.
If you don't have a book, you know, like you said, you have four kids. I have one. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how my mother did it. I don't know what I would do if I had four kids and have to deal with four different personalities and four different ages of and stages of development. You know, it's awesome what women do with this thing called parenting and simply being a mom. It is a job in itself.
Absolutely.
We do the best that we can do.
Right. And my kids, I draw from my kids. You know, Anthony is 17 now. He's about to graduate high school. I have 17 to 5. Malik will be 5 on Friday.
Wow.
And they run the gamut as far as their own issues. They do definitely have issues. But they ground me. It's funny how a child can enlighten you or say something to make you snap back into reality to say, oh, okay. And it's almost like you don't want them to take too much responsibility, but they definitely bring me back around. And, you know, they parent me. You know, I look to them for inspiration. And it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, through all the struggles and all the mistakes, you know, it's still okay.
Still okay.
Yeah.
They love you no matter what. That, like you, Meredith was talking about, that unconditional love.
Correct.
They definitely set the example for grown-ups how to love and forgive and keep it moving.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
So you guys are doing a great job, and I'll listen more.
All right. Thank you, Freedom.
All right, bye.
Take care. Happy Mother's Day. All right.
You know, and Freedom somewhat touched on it, but for me, you know, advice, I would give is to know and respect your child, to, you know, see them as whole and perfect and as divine and someone who's here to give some gifts and has value. And, you know, for me, when I am consistently having difficulty with one of my children, I try to ask myself, like, okay, what do I need to learn? You know, like, what are they trying to teach me? Where am I falling short or missing the mark? And generally, when I take that approach, something will shift in me. I will respond differently the next time, like Sam and I doing homework. Oh, my God. You know, it's challenging. And so, you know, when I say, like, okay, like, what do I need to learn? Instead of just trying to be the one that always teaches and changes the child, it's just to be open to the changes they bring in yourself.
Yes, I love it. Being open to the changes that they bring in oneself.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. What other advice do you ladies have?
You know, I would say, because this has been such a deal in my family, you know, just tell your kid that you love them all the time. You know, back up your words with action. Kind of like put your love into action. Like I said, I didn't get that, you know. I knew that I was loved. I felt it, but just hearing it, it just goes a long, long way. One thing that Meredith talked about was laughter, you know. And sometimes as parents, you know, you got to remember you can't get so caught up in the stresses of being a mother that you forget to laugh. You have to laugh every single day.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have anyone that can make you laugh, just try to make yourself laugh. You know, laughing keeps you young at heart, keeps your spirit young. And it's good for your children, you know. It's good for your children to be brought up in a household where there's laughter, you know, as opposed to them being brought up in a household where there's anger, you know, because it gets transferred down. So laugh all the time. Learn how to laugh with your kids. Play games with your kids. Turn the TV off. Get to know your children. You know your children's friends. Know your children's teachers. Just get involved with them. Just get involved with them. Get involved in their lives, you know.
I'll even put music on in the house sometimes when I just don't like the feeling or the mood in the house. And, of course, you know, depending on the music I pick, if I'm dancing, oh, the kids are laughing. They will laugh at me dancing all the time.
All right. Get jiggy with it, Meredith.
Exactly. In my awkward way, and they will just, they'll bust on me, so...
Tanya, you can testify to that dance. I mean, Tanya just bought We Fit for the family, so that's one way that we can kind of get on Justin's level, because he likes to play video games. So we got the We Fit, and we have the dancing series where you can dance the different kind of music, and so all three of us will be up there dancing, and he just cracks up. But it's good. It's such good family time.
Yeah.
But he gets a kick out of it. He really gets a kick out of seeing us shaking our booty. So.
Well, I think this is a great note to end on, ladies.
Yes.
The last words, shaking our booties. I really would like to thank our wonderful guests, Lisa Coleman and Meredith Gross, who have shared with us the miracles of motherhood that they have experienced with their wonderful children, Justin, Sam, and Maddie. I invite you to listen in again next month. Second Sunday's at 6, and so next month will be June 12th. And speaking of shaking your booties, we will have fun with fitness just in time for swimsuit season. And my guests will be three amazing women who teach fun classes to help us get fit. So we have bodacious belly dancer Amira Selah. We have Zoom and Zumba instructor Kelly Knight, and then the pole dancing diva, April Johnson Tom. Now, you know it's going to be juicy-licious. Now, if you would like to contact me, Tanya Parker, a.k.a. The Natural Sister, you can email me at Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, at mindbodyandspiritworks.com for more information about my healing, teaching, and writing services. Or if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for Mind, Body, and Soul Food, you can go to my website at www.mindbodyandspiritworks.com for upcoming events and my monthly massage specials. And please feel free to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, this evening, we have been treated to some tasty morsels from our Miracle Moms, Meredith Gross and Lisa Coleman. Again, ladies, thank you so much. And for some leftovers, here's some mind, body, and soul food to go from the Queen of Talk herself, Oprah Winfrey. And she said, I quote, "Biology is the least of what makes someone a mother," end quote. Therefore, mothers out there, be conscious of what ingredients you use in those sacred dishes you are creating. Thank you all for dropping in to partake of a nourishing meal at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Table. And we certainly hope to hear you next time. And let's let Gay Adegbolola take us out of here this evening on Mother's Day 2011.
Here I go. Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really
to me, baby.
give it to me, baby. I'm a hungry woman.